Let's thank Sean B. for sharing. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Tawana R. from the Norvana area as well.
My name's Tawana and I'm a recovering addict. I like to thank God for being God, and I like to thank God for my sponsor. And I always say that first today because I'm under no illusion who got me here and who helped me to stay here, and with that, I'm eternally grateful. I have a IP pamphlet, number 16, for the newcomer, because my topic is the newcomer is the most important person. You don't have to be clean when you get here. But after your first meeting, we suggest that you get help from NA, nor, oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back because I don't have my glasses. Thank you. That's a little better. Okay. You don't have to be clean when you get here. But after your first meeting, we suggest that you keep coming back and come clean. You don't have to wait for an overdose or jail sentence to get here from NA. Nor is addiction a hopeless condition from which there is no recovery. It is possible to overcome the desire to use drugs with the help of 12-step program of Narcotics Anonymous and following the recovering act. My story tells me that, you know, my sponsor, this is my, let me just say that I picked up one white key tag.
That's right.
My clean date is August 28, 1998. Mm-hmm. I have not found it necessary to use from that day to this day. I lost my mother. I lost my father. I had a sister that was mentally retarded, okay? And when I was using, she was raped. She was kidnapped, and she was left in the creek for dead. Now, I heard you, Sean, when you said that you wanted to get one more, right? And this particular day, I had been getting high all that day, and I had a bench worn out for my rep. Because part of my story is that I like to bust people's windows out of their car, too, right? So, I had a bench worn out because I had bust this dude's car, window out of his car. And we called the police to tell them that my sister was missing, and they asked me a lot of questions, and they locked me up. And they took me to the jail, and they questioned me. Now, mind you, everything that you see on TV, in the Law and Order, it happened. It was a good cop, a bad cop. One was trying to serve me tea and crumpets and shit. The other one was coming on nasty to me. And they took me through this like rigorous. I've never experienced anything like that. I mean, and I thought I could, you know, tell a couple shit and dance and, you know, but they wouldn't let me out of there. And when the guy left out the room, he turned to me and he said, "You don't make no sense. You sold your sister for a dime bag of crack."
Wow.
And he left out the room.
Wow.
And at that moment, because I heard y'all, at that moment, I fell to my knees and I said, "Lord, if you get me out of this one." I didn't understand then that that was my sincere prayer. And God said, "Okay, baby, you want some help? I got you." My last run, I had a half partner because I always had one of them. He's my baby father now. You seen him, Sean?
I ain't seen
him. Hope he ain't here. And this particular day, we had been looting and pillaging all day. And I told my cousin, and he told me, "If you want to get some help, let me know. I can take you," because at this time, he was clean. He had some time. And I said, "Yeah, okay, give me your number. I'll call you." I didn't realize, newcomer, that I made an appointment to go on treatment, right? I'm talking about how my God worked for me, right? Because he was setting this thing up for me, and I didn't even realize that I was in the process. So, I called him, I made my little appointment. He was supposed to come and get me Friday night. Now I was one of, like Sean, I ain't had no hair. Cut it all off because I ain't had time for that. It was too busy. I lived with my mother because my plan for my life was I was going to live with my mother and father till they died, and then I was going to live off the insurance money. I don't know if anybody can understand that, but that was my plan for me. My mother and them dead and gone, the money gone, and look at that. I'm just talking about how God, when I open my mind, the possibilities are endless. I had sold myself short for a couple of $1,000. So I called him, and I made the appointment, and we had been getting high that whole night, and I don't know about nobody else, but he started getting on my nerves.
Okay.
I said, okay, I ain't got time for this. I'm going in treatment. You know, I got to get one more. I'm done with you. So at the time, I carried a pistol, and I found out in my fourth step that I ain't really want to hurt nobody, but I was in Rome. And when in Rome, you got to do what the Romans do. So he carried a pistol, I carried a pistol. You know what I'm saying? And we was going places, laying places down, doing all. You know what happened when you do that kind of stuff. But I found out in my fourth step, baby, that I could not bust a grape.
No.
But I'm talking about fear. Because when you fearful, you would do just about any and everything to get it up off. I'm talking about me, right? This is my process. Newcomer, I hope you listen. So, he was getting on my nerves. I went to go try to sell my pistol. I was driving my mother's car that was not in getaway condition. I popped in front of the house because I wanted to get in and get out because that was my last one. I got to get it. I know this is the last one. I'm going to get it right now, so I'm going to get in it. I know it's going to be easy because I'm going to a guy that I know. He ain't going to have nothing to do with me. I'm talking about how God working through this whole, I didn't see any of this. I thought that I was just going to go in there and do what I got to do because I know him and he going to turn me on and I'm going to leave. He said, baby, I don't want to have nothing to do with you, and walked off. I couldn't believe it. So he turned me on to the guy on the porch, and the guy on the porch come on off the porch and asked me what did I want, and now I'm thinking. And my sponsor told me don't do that by myself. And I said, okay, he asked me what was going on, and I told him, I don't know what you're talking about, because I thought about it, and if I pulled this pistol out, it was going to be some gunplay, and I just told y'all I don't want to hurt nobody, and shoot what? My mouth. So every time people would come, I'd talk real loud, and every time cars would come out, back into the street, and we done this dance for about 20 minutes, and he looked at me, and he said, you see the guy on the porch? And I looked around. I said, yeah, I see him. He said, if you don't get that thing up, he going to bust you. So now I'm thinking again. I said, okay, he in front of me. So if I stay in front of him, when the guy shoot, he going to have to shoot through him to get to me. So every time he move, I move. Every time people come out, I talk them real loud. Every time cars come out, back in the street. We done this dance for about 20 minutes. He said, bitch, get on with here. And I said, damn, I done got away again. I'll fix you. Because that's part of my story, too. Let me tell you, I used for 10 years because of fear, and I'll fix you. Because I was hurting when I was a child. I was too young. I was too black. I was too short. I had a sister that was mentally retarded. Kids used to tease me every single day when I walked back and forth from the babysitter, and I used to ask my mother, why are the kids doing that? And my mother said to me, baby, don't pay no attention to them. Kids can be cruel. So I fought a lot. I grew up in a white neighborhood. We was the only black people on the street, so I had to fight. So I used all of that fear into, and I turned it into anger, right? I'm talking about my process. I'm talking about why I done the things that I done. Why I walk the street all night, Sean. You know, thinking that didn't nobody know. So, once he let me go, I came up with an idea. I said, I'm going to go get my half partner. He my baby father now. You seen him, Chuck? Sorry, Dad. So I go get him. He masked up, you know, give me all these instructions, what I need to do, where I need to do it, where I need to pop. And I told you the car was not in getaway condition. So we get to the gas station, I stop, I pull in there, I'm scared. But I didn't want to tell him that, so I asked him, are you sure? Just get in the car, then I told you what to do. But so we get in the car, I step on the gas, I'm flooring it. We're going up a hill, 2 miles an hour. When I get to the top of the hill, now we jump over the hill because I'm flooring it at this time. I get up there and ain't nobody outside. And I said, phew. Now I'm talking about God, right? So he said, pull around the corner, pull around the corner. Pulled around the corner, he got out again, gave me all these instructions, what to do, how to do it, when to do it, masked up. And the guy came around the corner, and he saw us before we saw him. And he took off running to the left, and I got in the car, and I pulled to the right. And at that moment, a weight had been lifted off my shoulders, because I knew that I did not have to use never again. He was all in my ear, but all I heard was womp, 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 womp. Because at that moment, I knew I was free. Right? I'm talking about how God was doing for me when I couldn't even do for myself. And I thought that I was just going to get one more. So I dropped him off. The next day, my cousin got me. I went into treatment. I was weighing 98 pounds. I had a Caesar haircut. That's what they call them. Little Caesar haircut. I had on a pair of my son's pants that I had cut off in the booty short. I had on a semi-white t-shirt that was tied up in the back. And I had on some heels and everything. I thought I was switching, but my counselor told me that I was knocking, my hip was popping out of place, so I had to pop it back in place. But you couldn't tell me that I was the flyest thing in there, right? Because I was under the illusion that drugs had took me to. It told me that I was all right, even when I was. And that was what kept me going. One more minute. I'm all right. What's wrong with you? I'm all right. So I went in the detox, right? And I told y'all I always had a half partner. And I remember I went to Arlington detox. And they told me that I needed an Arlington address, and I remembered in one of my little rendezvous that I had a driver's license. I remember I had a driver's license because I didn't really need no driver's license. I had drove all my life without one. But I had a half partner at the time, and he took me to go get a driver's license, and it had an Alexandria address. And so I remembered that in a moment of clarity. And I told the people the address, and they told me I can come to Alexander Detox. So I went to the detox. I stayed there for 170-some days. Newcomer. Right. 170-some days. Whatever they told me to do, I done. I had to get up in the morning and make my bed. I had to do chores in there. I had to clean up behind myself. I had to wash my clothes. All of this stuff I was doing that was teaching me how to get to where I'm at right now. Now, I heard people say that, oh, the women, I can't deal with the women. But when we all were sitting around the table, all of us were smoking together. Well, we can't recover together, okay? So I don't understand that. You know, because I believe in helping somebody like somebody first helped me when I got here. My first sponsor was given to me. Because I was going to meetings when they told me, baby, sit down and shut up. When we want to learn how to smoke, we're going to call on you. And I done that. I listened and I watched. And I raised my hand one time and said something, and they said, oh, baby, you see that lady right there? That's your sponsor. You call her, get her after the meeting, and you call her. And at the time, it was cool. Because she was the suit that was fitting me. And I heard y'all say that. You got to find the suit that fits you in here. And at the time, she was looking good, smelling good. She had her kids. Her hair was fried, dyed, laid to the side. And I wanted that. Because I didn't know how to do any of that when I got here. So I followed her. And everything she done, I done. Everywhere she went, I went. Until my boo came. I was in the woman's recovery home at this time. I was making $2.13 an hour. And the women started getting on my nerves. And I said, I no longer require y'all services, good ma'am. Thank you very much. I'm moving in with my bookie. And everything was wonderful. You hear me? We rode off into the sunset for about a year. Look, we celebrated together, and one day I came home and that nigga was smoking. And I had to make a decision. I'm talking about with some time, I had maybe 2 or 3 years clean. And I had to do something different. At that moment, I realized that if I did not do some work, IP number 16, newcomer, if I don't do some work, I will use again. Right? And it just told me in the literature that I ain't never got to do that. Never. You ain't never got to smoke again. So at this time, I left him. I went into a shelter. And the sponsor that I have now, she worked at the detox. And I asked her to be my sponsor, and she took me straight to the steps. I just gave y'all 1, 2, and 3. I can't. He can. I think I'll let him. Because for a long time, I didn't know how to do shit. Okay? The third step tell me, God, take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to do it. Once I said that sincere prayer, because I'm talking about these sincere prayers that God keep putting in my life. I heard somebody sharing a meeting one time in my area, because I just moved to another area. And they said that the God take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live is not a prayer. But what is it then? I'm saying it. He hear me. You can't tell me how to pray to my God, but I got breath, okay? I'm getting off the path here. So once I said that sincere prayer, my sponsor gave me my fourth step. And let me tell you, when I heard them reading the clarity statement and they were talking about Alcoholics Anonymous, I thank God for that program, because that program gave me my fourth step, and that fourth step gave me my freedom. I wrote some shit in my fourth step that I thought I was going to take to my grave. I'm talking about tricking with my cousin, grown. I'm talking about having babies with my cousin, grown. Getting abortions. Abortions, the babies that I had that I thought, like it was a game. I would get pregnant, get the money, get an abortion, go be high. And that was my path. Right. But like Sean said, I'm free. It don't matter to me. You know what I'm saying? By the time I got to the fifth step, I was sitting in there talking to my sponsor, and she was writing down shit, and I'm sharing with her all this good information, and I'm thinking to myself, why is she sitting over there nodding and shaking her head? Is that all you got? Don't you know I'm about to kill you after this information I'm giving you? And this all you got? This all you got for me? And every now and then she would look up and she would share something with me that would make me understand that we're more alike than different. And then ease me a little bit more. And I begin to tell her a little bit more. A little bit more. And I got a little more free. A little more free. It was me, her, and God in the room. I'm telling you. And by the time I finished that fifth step, I understood everything about Tawanda that needed to be changed. I'm talking about the sixth step to tell you about them crazy defects that I just want to punch a motherfucker in the face for what? For what? Nothing. I don't need a reason. I understand today that because I've done a sixth step, I can ask God in the seventh step to humbly ask him to remove these shortcomings. I'm going to share my experience on that because my sponsor told me for every situation is a step for that. And I was working at the sports authority. I was making $7 an hour now, y'all. I'm moving on up. And this lady told me I need to get off the phone with one of my coworkers. And I told her, you ain't my boss, you know. And I continued to talk on the phone, and she walked over to me and acted like she was going to hit me on my arm and turned around and stole me in the face. Now, I told y'all I like to fight. At that moment, I couldn't believe that shit. The first thing I done, though, was call my sponsor. I said, sis, you know this girl just stole me in my face and I can't believe it. Ah, ah. And she said, Tawanda, because I'd be on the ledge, y'all. I don't know about nobody else. But I'd be like this. And she grabbed me just before I fell over and said, Tawanda, what part did you play in that? I said, damn. Some people paying me to work. They ain't paying me to talk on the phone. I'm on the front line. I can't be up there. Oh, how you doing, boo? So I had to take a look at that. That's what the 6 and 7 step talk about. When you humbly ask him, all that shit that you think that you hiding gonna come to light. And you gotta deal with it. I know I had to deal with it. And it wasn't pretty, like you said. The good, the bad, and the indifference. Okay. And let me tell you something. They don't go nowhere. They get in line. And any, depending on my spirituality, let me tell you, when I'm off the beam and I ain't thinking straight and I done told myself that, you know, because I talk to myself sometimes and the days that I answer myself, since you were drunk. Right? My husband can attest to that one. By the time I got to the 8th and 9th step, right, it talks about in the literature that, and y'all might not understand what I'm talking about, but just stay here, right? Because I'm telling you, this IP tell you that you just got to do what we do. They got to how it works on the street. So now that you're here, try to do something different. You ain't got to do it all the way. Just try to. They told me when I got here, they will refund your misery. Free of charge. Who said with interest? Hello. I don't want that money. So by the 8th and 9th step, it taught me to do an 8th step if it was no 9th step. And I had sold my sister's car and stolen it. And my mother and them dragged me, told me that I need to get myself together. And so when I put my sister on the list, I was about to get married at this time. Not to that man. You see him? So, and I was in school. I just got my associate's degree in accounting. And I called my sister and I told her, you know, I'm sorry for what I've done to you. And she said, I don't want to hurt none of that shit. You shouldn't have sold my car and hung up the phone on me. And I called my sponsor crying again. And my sponsor said, Tawanda, because I was on the ledge again, how dare her don't listen to what I'm saying? I'm clean now. I apologize for all that stuff. And my sponsor said, Tawanda, you done your part. That's all you can do. The 9th step tell you that's all you can do. Pray and get out of the way. By the time I got to the 10th step, I understood that every day I needed to do something different. Every day I need to be a better person than I was yesterday. And I try. I try real hard to be a better person today than I was yesterday. Sometimes, that's all I'm going to say about that. But you know what? I understand today that I got an 11th step. I used to smoke cigarettes, right? I got hypnotized to quit smoking. And when I got hypnotized, the hypnotist told me that water was a soothing mechanism. So every day I get in the shower, I pray, and I meditate. Now, meditation is listening for God's answer. It ain't telling them what I want and how I want it to come, and I want it in a double, what is it, a triple seven. I can't tell them what I want and then tell them how to give it to me, right? And that's what I do. You know, the 12th step just tell me that I need to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And that's why I come here and share my experience, strength, and hope with y'all so that somebody can get something out of this. You know, I have a son. I'm going to share this. He has sickle cell anemia, right? And for all y'all don't know, that's a cancer of the blood. And my son has been in and out the hospital since he was 6 months old. He's 13 years old now. And it's days where I'm in a fetal position because I have to watch my son nod in and out. Right? I got to nurse my son back to health from being dope sick. Right? Now I'm talking about the program. Because I just read to y'all that I ain't never got to use again. Never. I don't have no more excuses. You know, y'all took them away from me when I got here. You know, and I understand today that situations gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know, life gonna show up. What are you gonna do to Wanda different? You know, I encourage anybody here, if you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. Go to meetings, do a 90 and 90. Pray and try to do some step work, because that's what saved my life. You know, my name's Tawanda, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.